Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, hello, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. My name is Rebecca Masood. I'm your host for Savvy, Soulful, and Successful, which is a show for and about visionary women entrepreneurs who are here to speak their true message, shine their light in business, and amplify their income and their impact for the benefit of all. Today, I want to welcome our very special guest and leading lady, Carolyn Battino. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Such a delight. So Carolyn is an author, speaker, and founder of the Money Empowerment Project, and we'll definitely learn more about that. She is passionate about helping women business owners and soulpreneurs become BFFs with their money. And after working with more than 100 bookkeeping clients, Carolyn was inspired to empower people to find joy in their relationship with money. Her approach is practical, it's holistic, with no judgment, helping clients find abundance and transform the way that they think about and interact with money. Carolyn is the author of the international best-selling book called The Land of Plenty, A Soulpreneur's Guide to Finding Joy, Possibility, and Abundance Through Money Empowerment. I have my very own copy here, which we will definitely be talking more about your book. And she's been featured on the Spirited Woman's Top 12 Book Pick List for 2020. That's an awesome acknowledgement. So welcome again, Carolyn, and really appreciate you being here on this Friday afternoon in the midst of, lots of wild things happening and global health crisis. And here we are. We're showing up for our businesses and to talk about how to find joy in your relationship with money.
Yes. Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. That was awesome. That was interesting when you hear it read back to you. So thank you.
Well, I really appreciate you being here. So let's tell us about the Money Empowerment Project. So what inspired you to create it?
Yeah, so I'm a bookkeeper, and as a bookkeeper, I have this amazing ability to see people's relationship with money, and not only just see that relationship with money, but see how it correlates with what's in their bank account. So it's not just seeing, you know, how people say they interact. It's actually seeing, you know, how much debt do they really have, and how do they manage when they can't pay their bills, or how do they manage it when they are wildly successful? And it's a very interesting job to have that intimacy with somebody and their relationship with money. And so when I started bookkeeping, I had some assumptions that I made about people and their money. I assumed that if somebody was wealthy, they'd have a good relationship with money. And if somebody was not wealthy, they probably did not have such a great relationship with money. And as I started to really dive into people's money stories and their relationship with money, I realized that that's not correct at all. Just to give you some examples, I have a client who has millions and millions of dollars and family fortune beyond most people's comprehension, and she's constantly worried about money and constantly in fear around money. And then I have another client who barely makes $30,000 a year, and she feels completely abundant. And when I started comparing the two of them, I was like, wow, isn't this interesting? And so I really started to dig a little bit deeper. And what I found was that it's so important to be empowered in your relationship with money and really understand where that relationship is coming from. And it really gets down to the root of it is your money story. And so that's kind of where it all started. And as it all unfolded, I realized that I not only had this bookkeeping business, but there was this other thing that wanted to be born into the world, and that's how the Money Empowerment Project came about.
Wow. So you're saying it's really important for us to know our money story. And you have a money story, so I'd love to have you share with our listeners a little bit of your money story, and also share with us why is it so important to know your money story.
Yeah, absolutely. So before I opened my business, I was working in the corporate world, and I just never felt like I could get ahead. I just had this glass ceiling of $50,000 a year, and I was going nowhere above that, no matter how hard I worked. And now that I'm where I am now, and I can look, you know, hindsight 2020, what it came down to was that my parents, when I was growing up, were both entrepreneurs. My dad ran an electrical contracting business out of our basement. My mom worked a 9-to-5 job and then also ran her own business. So she'd come home from her day job and then immediately go to work on her business. And so I watched my parents work really, really hard. And it wasn't necessarily to make ends meet, but they just worked hard. That's just what I thought everybody did. And so when I got into the corporate world, that's what I did. I worked really hard. And every time I'd come up against, you know, a glass ceiling or a promotion that didn't happen or a raise that didn't happen, I'd be really frustrated because it felt like, wait a minute, I'm working really hard. Why isn't this working out for me? And really the turning point of this was that the last corporate job that I had, I was running an event center, and we were gifted a second building. The building that I was operating was run by a nonprofit that ran historic buildings. And so they were gifted a second building, and my boss said, hey, do you want to run both buildings? And I said, sure, as long as I'm compensated for it. And we both agreed, but neither one of us really knew what that would look like. And so I spent about a year coming up with the marketing plan and the renovation plan and, you know, really the overall business plan, and got it to the point where we could start selling events. And once I got to that point, I, you know, came to my boss with this very fair proposal, and, you know, it was time to be compensated, as we had discussed. And when I gave him the proposal, he didn't like what I had, even though it was somewhat what we had agreed to in the beginning. And it was very fair. I use that word, but it was one of those things where, you know, you when you're negotiating as a woman, a lot of times you are like, oh, I won't go too far because I don't want to seem greedy and I don't want to feel like I'm taking advantage of. So I had all of that negative self-talk that was involved in this proposal. And he came back and said he wanted to give me a 4% raise for doubling my workload.
Wow.
And it kind of hit me, yeah, kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I was not expecting it. And I said, well, okay, that doesn't work for me. And he came back and he fired me. So
oh my God.
I was left without a job. And I'd worked so hard to get there. So to make a long story short, that's really where I opened my company. So, yeah, it's amazing how our money stories play out in our lives.
Yeah. Wow, Carolyn. That is, yeah, you share that story in your book, The Land of Plenty, and just some really key things that you talk about in just your sharing your story. I mean, I can so relate. I grew up in middle America in Texas, just pretty much in the middle of the country like you did, and you know, didn't grow up with, you know, we weren't poor, we weren't rich. It was like my dad was a minister and my mom was a secretary, and you know, so a lot of things. And my mom also, in addition to her 9-to-5 job, she sold World Book Encyclopedias on the side. Mm-hmm. And my dad at one time even had a side hustle as a, he sold cars in addition to being a minister. So I so relate to that. And this, you know, this era of growing up and in the mentality of working hard, really working hard for not a lot of money. And then not wanting to come across as greedy as you were putting together your proposal to your boss. I mean, some really, like, wow, we grew up. I can just so relate, and I think a lot of people can relate to growing up in these environments, and especially yes. as women, you know, we are taught we want to play nice, we want to be polite, we don't want to ask for what we're truly worth. And so tell us more about why it's so important to know our money stories and how those money stories play out in our lives and businesses.
Yeah, so the thing that's really interesting is these patterns, even if we don't recognize them, they just keep repeating themselves. So, you know, fast forward a couple of years later, I had a very, I had a great business. I mean, my business was thriving, and a lot of it was because I underpriced myself, as a lot of women entrepreneurs do, because you come at it from this place of fear of people aren't going to want to buy my services if I charge this exorbitant amount of money or this premium price. And so you price yourself in this place where you feel like, oh yeah, I'll get some clients there. And then what ended up happening is that I attracted a lot of clients. And while that's a great problem to have, it's still a problem nonetheless. And I found myself still working really, really hard. And so the importance of finding your money story is that once you understand that aspect at play, you then have the opportunity to rewrite that story if it's no longer serving you. And so once I really understood what was going on in my life and in my business, I was able to take the pieces that I learned, like great work ethics and things like that, and keep those, but drop the things like you had to work really hard in order to earn money, and really transform the way that I interact with money and my beliefs about money. And it's made all the difference in the relationship that I have with my money and with my business and the joy that I have in my money and my business.
So what might be so undervaluing or undercharging for your services is one way it seems like it shows up for a lot of women entrepreneurs. Are there some other ways that it shows up when you have a money story or you're still believing something from the past that's not really serving you today? What are some other ways that it shows up?
Yeah, I would say that the way it shows up for me is very common, but I also see a lot of women entrepreneurs overgive. So it's a combination of the underpricing, but it's also the overgiving. So you might be priced reasonably, but then all of a sudden you're like, oh, but I'll throw in this, and I know we went over on our time, but I'll throw in an extra month for free or whatever it is. We're always trying to add this other value because, you know, we're all of us solopreneurs come at this because we are very passionate about the work that we do and we love working with our clients. And somehow we think that if we love something, we should just give it away. And so I see a lot of that in the women that I work with, that they overgive in addition to not pricing themselves very in alignment, I guess I should say, with what they.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely seen that and done that myself. The overgiving, over delivering.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a common thing. So, gosh, in the midst of these understandings about our stories, and so how do we find joy in the midst of this? And as you say, how can we actually become BFFs with our money?
Yeah, I love that phrase, becoming BFFs with our money, because the thing about it is that money is an energy, and money is just like a person. And if you can think about your relationship with money just like you would a friend or a loved one, it really helps put that relationship into context. Like, are you ignoring your money and expecting it to show up when you need it, but not being, you know, in conversation with it? And I know that sounds a little bit woo, but it's true. Like, we really need to evaluate those relationships that we have with money and the energy that we put into the money. Because if we are constantly in this state of fear, then we come at this a very different way than if we come at this relationship with plenty. I mean, that's really where my book, the heart of my book, comes from, is that idea of, you know, there are plenty of leads, there's plenty of money out there. And if we stop fearing that there's not going to be enough, it completely changes our perception about money and our relationship with money.
So really cultivating that abundant mindset of there is,
yes,
there's more than enough. That's a strong belief that I have, is that there is more than enough to go around. And so,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the things, like, I, with my clients, I have them all track their money on a daily basis. Like, one example, I was just working with one of my clients, and she was really good at tracking what was going out. And I had her start tracking every single day what comes in. And that was just such an aha, that she was so focused on getting her bills covered and the outflow, and that as she started tracking the inflows, it was just such a light bulb for her. And she started noticing, wow, there's actually more money coming in than I thought. So I would love to know, what's a quick tip, something that women entrepreneurs could try or start implementing that would help them create that joy and, like you said, develop that BFF relationship with money?
Yes. I love that. I love that you talk to your clients about tracking money, because I do think that that's very true for a lot of people, that we don't acknowledge and have the gratitude for money when it comes in, especially things of value. So maybe not cash from a client, but you don't recognize the value of what's coming in. And then all of a sudden, when you do track it, you're like, wow, there's so much out there. So as far as tips go, I would say, obviously, the first one is to look at your money story. And I talk a lot about this in my book. So it's really money mindset. But the second that I think is just as critical is really knowing your numbers. And what I mean by that is having a system. And whether it's, you know, working with a bookkeeper like myself, or just tracking your money on a spreadsheet, depending on where you are in business, your needs may be different. But why it's so important, I actually have a woman that I know had a card making business, and this was a side hustle for her. She worked in New York City, and she used to hand make these cards on the train back and forth to work. And she had all of these clients that were hiring her for wedding invitations and all sorts of stuff. And so she really busted her butt to have this side hustle. And at the end of the year, she handed over all of her receipts to her accountant, and he calculated all the numbers. And come to find out, she made $12. 12. Can you imagine?
Wow.
And this is kind of an extreme example, but it happens more than you realize. You have this idea of how much you're working, So therefore, you think it relates into how much money you're making, because you might not be paying attention to your expenses. You might just be paying attention to when somebody gives you $1,000. But if you don't really understand how much you're putting out compared to how much you're bringing in, you know, you're not really empowered to make those decisions about maybe it's not such a good idea to hand make these cards. And there's usually a smarter way to do it where you don't have to work so hard, but you can make money doing something that you love. And so that to me is probably the top tip that I have, is really knowing your numbers and making sure you have a system that works for you in a way that makes sense for you and your business.
Super. I love that. And it sounds like, you know, if numbers aren't your genius, to get support, you know, hire a bookkeeper, hire Carolyn, or hire someone like Carolyn that has that genius, that has that knack for supporting you with the numbers. So I think that's a beautiful, brilliant tip for our audience here. So in case our listeners want to reach you after the show, which I know lots will want to connect with you and get your book, which it's available on Amazon, is that right? The
Correct.
Land of Plenty?
Yep.
Yeah. So how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Yeah. So if you want to go to my website, it's moneyempowermentproject.com. And on my website, I do have a link to my book, so you can actually link up to Amazon right there. And then I also have a couple of resources there that will be really helpful. I have a quiz about finding your money mojo, which is a really good way if you're interested in diving into your money story. It's a good first step. And then I also have a free chapter there that you can download, which is Chapter 8. So, again, that is moneyempowermentproject.com.
Super. And what is Chapter 8? Which one is that one?
So Chapter 8 is Living in the Land of Plenty. So it's a little bit more of, I love to call it my woo chapter because I'm kind of a mix of woo and a lot of practical. But Living in the Land of Plenty is really kind of the manifesta of the book. And it goes over things like money is infinite. And, you know, really, I think it's where you find your joy. And it's once you really start to understand how money works on a universal level, it really opens things up and allows for that transformation in order to become BFFs with your money. So, And I really feel like the other place that feels very important to talk about today especially is that the Land of Plenty is about living in a place of plenty, not of fear, because so many times that scarcity is really coming from a place of fear. A lot of people have a lot of fear, guilt, and shame around money, and those emotions cause us to have certain reactions to money. And if you can understand where those are coming from and shift those perceptions, it really makes a big difference in how you interact with money, how you earn it, how you spend it, how you price yourself. All of those things are really based in that relationship and that perception. And so I feel like that Land of Plenty is really about understanding the perception you have about money.
Yeah, so you're saying it's important to really heal our money shame issues.
Absolutely.
That we've, you know, in some ways, I think many of us carry around money shame, things that we've done in the past around money, bad decisions, mistakes, things that we should have invested in, but we didn't, or we didn't start saving in our 20s, or just bad decisions, like your example of the client that was earned about $12 for all that work. And I think that as entrepreneurs, just what you're saying is so important, you know, to know your numbers and to really be clear on the outflow and the inflow and making sure that there is profit. There's a great book, you may have heard of it, Profit First, which I
exactly.
Love to recommend. So we know how to get in touch with you, and that those details will be in the show notes in case you missed that. So in our little final piece here, share with us a little more, because I want to end on an inspirational high note, because like you said, I'm really glad you brought up, yes, there's a lot of fear. And so tell us what it really means to live in the land of plenty, and then share with us what's one simple action that we can take that would really cultivate that abundance mindset and have us feel like, oh yeah, we're living in the land of plenty here.
Yeah, I do think that acknowledging, and this goes again back to your money story, it's acknowledging where that fear or guilt or shame or all of the above comes from, because it might not just be something that you did. It might be something that your parents did, or it also is cultural. I mean, there's so many different aspects of money and how it relates to us. And so, I would definitely say that your money story is at the heart of where it is. And the other piece that I really love to stress when I'm talking about money is that, and it's kind of cliche, but it's so important that you love what you're doing. And as solopreneurs, we really are driven to our businesses because we are excited about the people we are helping and the way we are getting out our message. And so if you can focus on what your why is, it makes all the difference in being able to connect with that money that wants to come to you. So it's really about finding your purpose. And I know for me, my purpose is really helping women understand their money, because I really believe that women who have money truly can change the world. And as I connect with that why, it absolutely drives me forward in what I do.
Beautiful, Carolyn. As you were talking, I have your chapter 8 opened here in my personal copy of your book, and I landed on this thing, and I just want to, I'll read a little, just a couple of lines from your book. You say, my favorite emoji on the phone is the money with angel wings. I didn't even realize there was this emoji, so I'm going to have to go find that. My favorite emoji on my phone is the money with angel wings. I love to imagine money coming in and going out like a feather happily dancing in the wind.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful imagery. I just love that. And that, you know, so for me, it's like, oh, I'm going to go find that emoji, because visual images, like a simple emoji, are so powerful, and they remind us to come back and acknowledge the abundance that is here for us.
Absolutely, because every time you spend money with a woman business owner, well, I mean, this goes in general, but as a woman business owner, it stays in these micro communities, and it's going to come back to you. So that's why I love that emoji, because it really it just is so empowering. And every time I spend money on Venmo, I always use that emoji, every single time.
Oh, that's a good little nugget there. That's very cool. Love that. I love that. All right. So last question for you, Carolyn. Tell us what your word is for the year and why you chose that word.
So my word for the year is amplify. And the reason why I chose that is that this is my year to really get out there and share my message with the world. I published my book in December, and it was very obvious as I started my new year planning that I needed to go big, like really big. And I even so big that I have glitter gold amplify hanging in my office to remind me every single day, because I really believe that we can change the world if we understand our money.
Yeah, and you also committed to that by signing up for my Soulful Speakers Club.
Yes.
So love so that you can really immerse yourself in an environment of women entrepreneurs who are using speaking to get their messages out there and bring in new clients and grow their business.
Absolutely.
And their impact. So, yeah, that is awesome. So that is our show for today. I want to thank you so much, Carolyn, for being our guest, our leading lady today. And thank you for showing up for you, for us, and for all of our listeners in the midst of, you know, this wild environment we're in, and to be a voice of calm, of reason, of hope and inspiration. And really showing that, yes, we're continuing to work, and we're continuing to bring a lot of the practical advice and inspiration to our audience. So really yes. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And I would love to say a special thank you to all of our listeners, both here in the U.S. and all around the world. We will be back again for another Women Lead radio show, Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. Rain or shine, virus or not, we are going to be here. It has been my joy to be your host today. Thank you for listening to Savvy, Soulful, and Successful. I'll leave you with these parting words from the late great poet, Mary Oliver. You too have come into this world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. I'm Rebecca Masood. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.